Dennis Fetcher on the line. Dennis, how are you, sir? Dennis Fetcher from Inside the Eye Live.
Very good, but the problem, guys, I thought you were going to be going live like at like 1 o'clock, you know, like 1 o'clock. And it's like went live at like 2 o'clock or, you know, 2 o'clock local here.
Dennis, it was this change of the hours in America.
Yeah. Frederick, how are you, man? Long time we haven't spoken. It's been quite some time, like 5 years, man.
I didn't realize you're still... are you in Jordan or in Saudi?
I bounce between Jordan and Saudi.
Yeah, I
bounce back and forth. So next month I'll probably be back in Jordan for a while.
When are you converting?
To what? Trust me, they've tried for years and years and years. They're a highly proselytizing society, but they're not nearly as vicious and ruthless at the people level that they're made out to be in the press. But even the Saudis here, they are appalled at what's happening to the West. They think the West is kind of stupid. Why are you letting these people in? We would never let them into our countries. Why are you doing it type of thing? And he said, you bring in this trash and you're making all of us who are really good people look really bad. So it's something that even enlightened people in the Islamic world that the West doesn't like at all, it seems. They're not too happy with the politicians in the West either. So it's really a case where the people have to start taking a stand against their politicians and just put an end to it like everybody else. The West is the only one destroying their countries right now.
Yeah, and that's very similar to what the Iranians are saying, that essentially, and we've got that in the West as well. The basic population is still concerned with raising children, making a living, and trying to make sense of what life is all about. And then when problems occur, you have to just simply ask, in whose interest is all this? And this is where then we begin that conspiratorial journey.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been, you know, a long journey too. You know, you and I spoke, I think, back in 2014 when I was still a little bit green under the ear. Maybe it was 2013. And, you know, this thing has just grown exponentially, quite frankly, compared to where it was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, again, it's a case where it's cum, you know, the marketing world, the cum, the amount of impressions we can get out there. And we need fewer cum than Jewish people need because we have the truth behind us. So we need 1/10, 1/15 of what they need. But we just still have to keep pushing and get these messages out. And it does resonate. And you can see now protests everywhere. I think that's why we see such a strong push to get this international definition of anti-Semitism on the books everywhere, because they see the writing on the wall. They cannot keep this under wraps for very much longer. And when they need to go after somebody like a Graham Hart, you know, to set an example, you know that the game is getting very difficult for them. And quite frankly, now is the time for us to start picking and choosing our fights to fight back. Tim Dwelly is no saint here. He picked the place
and of course, the greatest Purim gift was given to Israel by President Trump in conceding the Golan Heights just recently. You just wonder how this president, he has yielded to all the Jewish demands, all of them, including Holocaust and that which surrounds it. But if he settles the Palestinian issue and gives the Palestinians their piece of land, their country, then I think all these other these other concessions will fade, and the Palestinians can start breathing. But then we have the problem of how many Israelis will be flooding out of Israel into Europe again, or elsewhere, America and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Didn't mean to blow you
off. Dennis, I heard your show on Saturday. I was going to call in the last hour, because this hour thing messed me up, because your show finished at 5 o'clock Irish time, which generally finishes at 6 o'clock. And you were finished, and I thought, you know, I was going to, you know, you do your general rants for 2 hours, which you're very good at, and I was going to, you know, call in, talk about Graham's issue. But anyway, that didn't happen, so we're great to have you on now. Well, you know, you have spoken about it a lot, because you were dragged into this yourself by this Cornwall Anti-Semitism Watch,
yes,
which is run by this councillor.
Yeah, apparently.
Local councillor, Tim Dwelly, who who's from Penzance. And I'd like to ask Mr. Dwelly again, how many Jews live in Penzance? I would say maybe 10.
Breiser, I have been told to block Tim Dwelly in certain ways through social media due to spying, and I've also been told to block his transvestite wife. So, you know, some dirt's coming out about him. So, Mr. Dwelly, if you're basically a gay transvestite guy working with the Israeli government, here's what everybody in Cornwall, here's coming to Graham's defense for the people that now that you see something bigger going on here, because they brought one of your locals into it. Look, this group, this Dwelly, he has so far targeted 8 council members within the Labour Party inside of Cornwall. What this is, everybody, is you got to wake up. This is a planned takeover of your area, and they're using the allegation and charge and slur of anti-Semitism to get it done. So what they're doing is they're purging your people. They're getting rid of them so that they can then replace them with something a little bit more amenable to this larger global Jewish-Israeli angle. And that's a key issue for Cornwall citizens. You should drive Dwelly out.
Exactly.
Drive that's him out. Make him so comfortable he sells his house. He is a danger to your society. When he goes after and tries to ruin people, simply for a song, he is saying that I'm declaring war on not just Graham, but the people of Cornwall. And the people of Cornwall should shun this guy, let him know at every turn he's not welcome, until he gets and sells his house, preferably at a loss, and gets out of town. Because at some point, you have to tell these tyrants, get out.
Exactly.
It's not about rhetoric anymore, because he says, and Frederick was talking about this earlier, hey, I'm free to speak. Because I'm a Jewish guy, or I work for the Israelis, but you're not, because you're, quote-unquote, an anti-Semite. Well, screw you guys. If this is the way you behave, everybody should be an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And let's
I'm not sure if Mr. Dwelly is a Jew. I'm not sure about that. But
I'm not either.
But he's very friendly with them.
Anti-Semitism Watch without being linked to the Likud, the Israelis, and this entire agenda within your countries there. You guys know that. It's a huge problem.
I looked at his Facebook. That whole anti-Semitism.
Man, nobody does it. If he's Cornish, why is he taking such a huge interest in going after everybody?
I know that's what baffles me. You know,
yeah.
Why is he going on about anti-Semitism within the Labour Party? Oh, because he had to leave the Labour Party because he was bullied.
He had to leave because he's a fake loser and he didn't get his way. So he's going to go cry.
Yeah.
I couldn't get my way, so I'm going to leave. Okay, drive him further out. He goes to some independent where you don't even know where his money comes from now, because this independent group doesn't have any trackable campaign donation stuff, so you don't even know where his money's coming from. Drive him out. He's harming your community.
Yeah, exactly. Frederick, what's your take on
it? We've changed our tone over the last 5 years, eh?
Yeah. Frederick, your take on that? I mean, do you see the same thing in Australia? Do you see the same kind of thing? Because I know the Jewish elite in Australia seem to be doing exactly the same thing.
It's a little more subtle, but I'm just reminded of how Monica Schaefer was ostracized within her community. And that is then just a problem. You have to have your base, and I just go back to my time when I was excised from the education department, thrown out on the grounds of incompetence and disobedience in a small community. Luckily, I had people I grew up with. They knew that this was a conflict between a principal and his principles that he had to introduce into the school system, this very same bundle of educational principles that we are fighting today still. And luckily, I had the community behind me and also the media. And that made it much, much easier that, for example, the heavies came from Melbourne to the bush and they threatened the news editor of the local Wimmera Mayo Times. He was threatened that if he was to continue writing about these things, there would be consequences. And it was all bluff. It was all bluff. And this is where what Dennis just said, you have to stand your ground. And this is what I like about you, Graham, that you've stood your ground, you're still there, and you just, through personal example, have to fight this matter. For example, in teaching, I always found that there were various teachers who felt superior to the kids. They were teaching. And I mean, this is a nonsense where a mature person feels superior to a child. This is absolute rubbish. But we used to have that. And I always said, when the innocent awake, that principle, the kids you've got in front of you, in time, they will look at you and they'll either laugh at you or they'll admire you. For example, I had an English teacher, Miss Kitty O'Shea. She was from Ireland. She was never married, but she taught us Shakespeare. She taught us everything. And this was 3B boys and 4B boys class. This was where a woman who wasn't much liked by the staff members, but we loved her. And luckily, she survived a 3B boys. Can you imagine what they're like? Because the Tobin boys, they loved Miss Kitty O'Shea, and anyone who didn't behave in the class, we would make sure that they would behave. And even if it meant playing Romeo and Juliet, where the boys had to play Juliet and so on, it worked. It worked because teachers who set a personal example, and this is what Graham has to do. He has to set that personal example and not be vulnerable to any of the elements, except, I mean, if you're accused of being a hater and so on, you just have to laugh at these people. But it means that you still have to set that example within the community, because then these values of truth, honor, justice, these basic values come through, and you can hold your own. This is what they're trying. All these ideals, and then we get to the philosophical region where empiricism, British empiricism, somehow hates idealism, and then we get into the European mindset. And Bertrand Russell, he summed this up beautifully. The British produced empiricism from one particular to the next. You never rise above to an overarching view of things, but you plod along from one to the next. That's fighting all the time. Then the French rational, they build up something on a premise, and it's totally logical. But if the premise is false, this beautiful construct is rubbish as well. And then the German idealism, they have beauty, honor, justice, love, everything, and they then swim in the clouds. And if they're disconnected from the physical world, then that crashes down as well. So it's a combination of those three that make up the European mindset. This practical, the theoretical, logical, but then also the inspirational, the ideals that enable us to function.
It's a spiritual thing as well, isn't it, Frederick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you're looking into yourself. You're looking yourself in the mirror, and you're kind of going, "Okay, who am I?" I'm just ordinary Joe Soap.
And this is where the rationalist or the atheist has a limited perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Graham, do you want to jump in there in some very profound words there from Frederick? What's your take on that yourself? You're in the limelight, you know.
Media. No, I totally agree what Frederick is saying, but I would be interested to hear what Dennis has to say more about Mr. Dwelly, because you're bringing in some information here, Dennis, that I've not heard.
Yeah, basically,
Dennis, go for it.
Yeah, and at 3 a.m, Frederick, that's like, man, that's frying my brain, dude. I can usually hang with you, but I'm struggling on not enough coffee, I think.
We're 10 o'clock in the morning. You're 3 a.m, are you?
Yeah, we're coming up on 3 a.m. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Bless you.
After a long day.
Dennis, you're a good warrior, man. You're well able for this.
You know, thank you, man.
You could do you got
Irish blood in you, man. You're all the way.
I got too much Irish blood in me and not enough beer. That's the problem. So, for me, though, guys, it's that, you know, the philosophics of it all is great, but we have to translate our knowledge as teachers, because Frederick, I'm also, you know, teaching in the university systems and training in the corporate world and the military world also. I think we have to. I found, by the way, your comment about, teachers who think they're superior. I hate that. I see that all the time myself. Where teachers come in, they think they're so superior to everybody, you know, in the class. I think, you know what, you need to tone this down, man. These are your customers at the end of the day. It's a university, okay? Treat them like you're a customer and your friends and just do what you're paid to do, you know? So, yeah, that type of stuff really annoys the heck out of me, and it's still going on today. But for us, we have to sometimes break the complexities of everything down and just be able to deliver it to the people in a way that they get it. And can act on it and move on it. And that has become the real challenge. You know, how do we break things down to a very simple presentation that allows us to move forward? In the case of, let's say, Cornwall, we have a petty little tyrant who apparently is somewhat of a political vagabond. People are sending me messages that says his wife is transvestite, okay? So we already know these types of people are generally militant and unstable. For some reason, he's in Cornwall. He is pushing a pure Jewish line. I mean, we know about these anti-Semitism watches all over. They're all linked in eventually back to the Israeli government in some way. It looks like we are watching Mr. Dwelly work on purging various political people inside of Cornwall for what? To replace them with people more amenable to him. And for me, these are the key issues for the people of Cornwall. There are people in Cornwall that get this population displacement. Mr. Dwelly apparently has a history of pushing for multiculturalism. People have commented about that. These things get erased. So Mr. Dwelly, he seems to be very keen to silence everybody else by removing posts, taking our post down, while he gets to just keep his literally libelous, slanderous type of stuff up. So there's something very wrong with this guy. Any type of information you provide to Mr. Dwelly, he goes unhinged. Oh, this is another nutcase hater. Oh, this is another racist. Thank you for commenting from Norwich. You know, so the guy has mental problems, as we see usually within the Jewish community. Now, you can say he's not Jewish, fine. But we see this type of behavior all the time, guys. We're not new to this anymore. We've been witnessing it for 10 years. So for me, obviously for you, Graham, trying to keep it under wraps, but you just need to say, hey, now you see why I wrote the song. Because these guys are literally assholes. Now you see why I did it. And let people start to try to take your point of view and try to move this forward. For me, I think there should be a campaign against the Penzance Pirates, for example. You know, I think if you have the grassroots support out there and you've got a song that resonates with the people, there should be some campaign just around that song. In other words, I think Cornwall is small enough, and perhaps, Graham, you're strong enough to where we can have a fight on this territory. Because the main point is for us to start to isolate these anti-Western, pro-Jewish operatives and start pushing them out, because it is a political battle right now. They did this for political purposes. They want to silence any voices that are opposed to this Jewish agenda. And that Jewish agenda does not help, or is it beneficial to we in the West? It harms us at every step. So yeah, these are just some of my
thoughts. Yeah, there's another thing, Dennis. I looked at Mr. Dwelly's CV, right? Okay, he's done different things. He's worked at The Guardian, Independent, blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know, fine, fair enough. He's big into sustainable development, Dennis. Where have we heard that one before? Oh, yes, Agenda 21. You know, communitarian law, Talmudic law, getting people off the land, pushing them into cities, into little shoebox houses, this type of thing. And Graham has said where they're building these shoddy little houses all over Cornwall, okay, which they're going to eventually put people into. And it's in his CV. Dwelly, tell me if I'm wrong, but that's what you're into, sustainable development.
Well, at this stage, what does that actually mean? To the people, though, to make him uncomfortable to where he has to get out.
Yeah, well, that's what it boils down to.
Because what he just did is he said, look, we, again, you can say he's not Jewish, but I'm just going to argue with you because he's taking a Jewish angle. He said, we in the Jewish angle are going to make it so uncomfortable for you that you are going to be removed from the discussion here. Okay, they just said it, and they just did it. I said on these chat rooms, I said, look, the modus is very clear. They come out with these allegations, and then they work with their media. The next thing you know, it's front page headlines across the nation. I said that before the BBC picked up this story, guys, before. And it was taken down from the various posts by Facebook. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if this is the strategy of your internal enemy, which is, to me, this is a political issue. These are enemies of Cornwall. They are enemies of the UK. They are enemies of the West when you take it all apart. It is necessary for them to feel the same way that they are pushing our spokespeople. Because they've been doing this for hundreds of years, guys, over 100 years. I mean, Henry Ford was talking about this. Okay, they were talking about this in National Socialist Germany. This has been going on for hundreds of years. When are we going to learn to push back again? The last time people pushed back was National Socialist Germany.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I could get the sort
of... Don't mention Adolf.
Oh, for sure.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, once you mention Adolf again, you're a sinner, aren't you? No, again. But this is not how they think, though. I thought that way, Dennis, as you probably did.
Listen, we don't have to mention Adolf, okay? Because, again, we are at the, in some ways, we are the policy head. We are the ones thinking of the strategies, vocalizing these strategies in a very ad hoc, independent way. And people do run with them. So you don't have to mention it. Here it's kind of local. No problem. But the key issue here is Mr. Dwelly has shown himself to be an enemy of the people of Cornwall, not Graham. What Graham did is an enemy of the Jewish people. Well, are you going to put Cornwall interest first or Jewish interest first? What's your point here? Because if you want to put Jewish interest first, why don't you go to Israel tomorrow, go to the West Bank and see what it's really like for those people over there, and they're going to treat you the same way if you ever come to power here. And guess what? They're not even really in power, and look what they could do to a Graham Hart anyways. So when are you going to wake up? Are you going to wake up when they start machine gunning people up against walls like they did in the Soviet Union? Is that when you're going to wake up? At what point are these people going to wake up?
It'll come, Dennis, because I think the universe at some point just balances itself out at some point.
Well, it does, but still, good people have to talk.
Oh, we do.
Absolutely, we have to
it's
do it.
It's not going to balance it out without effort.
Absolutely.
No, it has to balance it. Absolutely, yeah. So we have to get the message out and just talk. And
just think, Frederick, how long have you been doing this type of work? In your own way?
We're in our 26th year. But Dennis, what you just said about strategy, it reminds me of what happened to Alison. She was excised from the nationalist, certain group in England, because she sang her songs and some people were upset for whatever reason within her community. Now, what do you do with that? What happens when you have people or when the communities, when they implode, you can't then really, you know, my little quip about don't only blame the Jews, also blame those that bend to their pressure.
Correct.
You must become aware of that wider dimension. Pulling out the Jew card is not enough. We can do that, but there is more than that. You have to look at the whole perspective. And one item that clinches it is Holocaust. You can see who supports the Holocaust. The laws are in place in Germany, for example. And what do the judges do, the non-Jewish judges? They follow the law. If they don't, they lose out. We had this with Günter Deckard and his judges who found... Can you imagine? Günter Deckard in the 80s was given a good reference by a couple of judges who said he was a good family man. And these judges, one retired and the other one, I think, was put on sick leave or something. But at least both of them were pressured to sort of withdraw that positive statement. And we've had this whenever anyone steps out of line, as Graham has done now, the defamation will continue. And it's not only a Jewish element, but it is within your own community. The Schaefers, Alfred Schaefer, was taken, or he was reported to the police by his own family members in Germany. Can you imagine? This is how refined the attack is. This is how... complicated the matter is, that if we pull out the Jew card, that doesn't really solve it that much.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to clarify, we have to set a personal example. And it may be very painful to do that, but it pays, because if you're in court, they've got nothing on you. I've been in court for nearly 25 years. They've got nothing on me. They haven't pulled out a card for anything except I have offended against the laws. And how can you not offend against a law that does not have truth as a defense? You know, our racial discrimination law is a watered-down version of defamation. And so what happens? I'm called a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semite, and I take the newspaper, the Australian, and the senator... Milne to court, and my complaint is dismissed because a new angle has been found in defamation, that if the Lucy McCallum, the judge, decided I was only interested in propagating my view about the Holocaust. In other words, my defamation action was an abuse of process. Can you imagine? I wasn't hurt because I was called an anti-Semite or a Holocaust denier or a fabricator of history. Oh, no, I didn't care about those things. All I wanted to do was talk about the Holocaust and use the court as a forum for that. Now, that's twisted thinking. And then,
especially when you didn't even ask to come before the court. They're dragging you there.
And then we go to the High Court. And we have two judges, one, a new minted one. He was minted in December, 40 years old, Edelman, and they find that there's nothing new arising out of the situation in this defamation action, and it was dismissed. And I mean, this is expensive stuff, $1.5 million. And of course, you can't pay these sums, so you become a bankrupt. And of course, then I'm in good company with Donald Trump, because I think he was bankrupted four times. And initially, did you remember how the media, his anti, who were against Trump, how they celebrated his disgusting bankruptcies, and all the businessmen were cheering him because it showed that he was a cool operator, having got out of four bankruptcies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is a challenge, guys. I agree. It's very complicated. However, there's still, you know, to me, the environment today is much better, quite frankly, than it was even 8 years ago, 7 years ago.
Oh, I agree, Dennis. Absolutely.
Social media has blown up. Jews are in panic mode everywhere. They're trying to put in these anti-Semitism definition laws so that they can try to – it's non-binding, but they want to go after it. We see them doing these purges. We just have to keep taking every advantage where we have numbers and just counterattack. I mean, at any point, you know, at any point, any of us can be attacked. That's the bottom line. And it is war against our civilization. And in any war, people take casualties. My goodness, I was destroyed myself many times before I rose back up. So a lot of us have had really tough times, bad times. Fortunately for me, it was earlier in life, so I could recover. But you just never know when these guys are going to attack. They are ruthless. And I think we're seeing that, and really people are seeing it. It's just we have so many cultural Marxists coming out of our college systems now. It's a challenge because we've got a lot of brain-dead zombies running around.
Yeah, we're seeing here, Dennis and Frederick, a wonderful lady who's come out. She's a former journalist with the Irish Independent, a big paper here. She was always exposing corruption. She got too close to the truth, and she was fired. And but she brought it to court, and she won her court case, and now she's out on her own just doing YouTube videos and doing talks around the country. And tonight she's going to do a talk in Cork, which is the second city of Ireland. And last minute, I mean, the place was booked for over 1,000 people. 1,000 people were ready to turn up for this. Okay? Last minute, gone.
Yeah, because, and again, it was just the leftists. No, these venue, but see, the point here is, to me, these are advantages, because now these venue owners need to be called out, and again, if they are going to be silencing us, the people have every right to silence these people, and that means when they see them around town, you shun them, you mock them, you do what you have to do to make them feel very guilty, very shameful for what they are doing.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's going to be it's going to be over 1,000 people going ready to go down to that talk tonight, and they're going to be outside, and they won't be able to get in. And
that guy's house the next day, or next to his restaurant, they should put a community watch on him and say, "Why are you canceling our work? Well, who are you working for? Why are you against us? Do you want to be a part of this community?" The community has to rise up, because if nobody rises up, then guess what? You have nothing. Yeah. That's the next phase of this now.
But that's why I think they're shooting themselves in the foot, because it's just happening too often, and people are just getting fed up now. You know, I mean, when you've got the likes of David Icke, who's got his talks are being
can't even go to Australia. Down.
Can't even go to
he
Australia,
was banned
Fred.
In Australia.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I mean, Fred. You know, David. Yeah, go on, Frederick. Yeah.
I remember he came and. Whenever we had conferences or anything, we would get 100 people perhaps, but he'd get 300, 400. And now they banned him. But also, who's this fellow, the Yiannopoulos or whatever, that other fellow?
Milonopoulos.
Milo.
What happened? He was banned, and then it was lifted by the minister or by the prime minister himself, and then Christchurch happened, and then he was banned again. Mm. So, you know, I'm just thinking about two fellows who are pretty vocal at the moment, Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson. And I noticed, you know, that when they talk about, when they take apart the so-called left wing or the progressive mindset, they then fall back on, and especially Shapiro, he falls back on his Judaism. He celebrates circumcision, and he says that the vision or the illumination comes from Jerusalem, while then I think Peterson, he embraces Greek rationality or enlightenment, and so that it goes back right to those roots that we have to worry about, whether when we talk about the European scene, then we have to worry about what happens in Europe with the Kuttenhof-Kalergi plan and the browning of Europe, if one dares say that. Then we're getting into deep, deep water and deep, deep shit, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's still, that issue, even if it's so widely discussed now, it's out there everywhere, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. It's huge compared to where it was, you know, even 3-4 years ago. Once 2015 hit and you had this massive influx by Merkel into Germany, that was just ripe to raise the Kuttenhof-Kalergi plan, and now people kind of get it. It's just, again, it's a numbers game and a speed game at this stage. How fast can people adjust to the real on-the-ground political environment and cause a shift, you know, in the demographics? The people just need to become aware. People in America get it. You know, they get it. That's why they put Trump in, and Trump seems to hem and haw. This is the rise of your nationalist parties. We have a problem. Virtually all of our nationalist parties are pro-Israel, and they want to hold up Israel as being the beacon of light for our quote-unquote ethnically homogenous societies. But Israel is a terrible example. The Israelis are absolutely lunatics. You know, if you go to Israel again, go to the West Bank, you know, see what they do in the West Bank, and just understand just how crazy that society is. We do not want to emulate that society ever, quite frankly. It's Talmudic and it's tyrannical.
Yeah. Well, again, they're playing both sides, Dennis, I think, you know. You know, you got the cultural Marxist left full of Jews, and you got the extreme right neocons who are Jews as well, and are pulling people in all directions, trying to confuse everybody. I'm just so totally shocked. I mean, a lot of people are waking up, but they're all thinking that Tommy Robinson is a hero, and I'm thinking, come on. But, you know, eventually, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, okay, fair enough. Let them go down the Tommy Robinson route. Let them go. Off you go. And then, you know, find out sooner or later.
They're going to find people like us who talk.
Exactly.
You've been doing a great job, quite frankly, guys. Frederick, you need to come back, man. We've been booming lately, man.
I'm just thinking about. I saw a little clip about Patrick Little. Somebody sent it to me, and he's boycotting, or he's standing outside the APEC conference in D.C. and saying, "I hate Jewish control of the USA, and why do you support the terrorist state of Israel?" All those going into the APEC conference, and he's standing outside, and he says, or someone says, "Oh, what about your father in Florida?" And he said, "He's feeding you money, isn't he?" He said, no, I'm living on a boat." And in other words, they become personal, and they don't quite accept the fact that Patrick Little wants to become the president of the United States and all that stuff. But, I mean, he had to it's a funny sort of clip that he's standing outside, and the Jews rushing in, not rushing in, just meandering into the conference, and he's firing all the negative things that Israel has done to the Palestinians. And these are ordinary people walking in, and they're not even flinching when they hear the horrors that the Israelis have done, the nation, so the Israeli nation has done to the Palestinians. Why is there no outcry?
Yes, they're immune to, I think, Jewish people.
But again, Dennis, you know, I think there's a lot of people on the right who are thinking, they're very pro-Israel, thinking, you know, Israel is protecting itself, you know, it's a Jewish state and an ethno-state. But, you know, it's not a legitimate state. It was never there. It was Palestine.
Well, it's still not a state. I mean, it was...
No, and it never was.
It's not, but really, I mean, it's got the trappings of a state, you know, type of thing. But, you know, they don't have borders. They still have not ratified a constitution. So, again, it's the only country...
They've got
country
a wall.
Hmm?
They've got a wall.
Yeah, they got walls. Well, and then you got Jews in the United States saying, don't build a wall to stop the Mexicans coming in, you know. But, I mean, it's just... I mean, it's, you know, we have to kind of find this kind of line between... people on the left, people on the right. I've spoken to a lot of people who are of left thinking, who are very kind of pro-Palestinian, anti-war and all that type of thing. And I find I actually get through to them better than I do to people on the right, because the people on the right are just hardline, whoa, Muslims, oh, get them out, oh, blacks, get them out, you know. The people on the left seem to be a little bit more accommodating. And when you bring in the Jewish question, when you look, you know, get them to look at this whole Holocaust thing, right? World War II and how the State of Israel was formed, the whole thing, which is what I did. This is how I started. It took me a while to get there, but I got there. And then the dots all joined up, and now I see what it is. I see exactly what it is. And I just kind of, it kind of frustrates me a bit when I see all this arguing. There's still this divide and conquer thing going on between the left and right and blah, blah, blah. Who, you know, we need to realize that there is one group of people who are running the show. Dennis, you've spoken about it a lot, many times. They're running banking, media, Hollywood, the whole freaking lot, okay? They're running it. The evidence is there. You can't dispute it. You can't dispute it. It's there.
Yeah, you
can't. Let them rebut it. But they can't rebut it because they know. They've even said it, for God's sake.
Not only are they, like, you know, talking about how oppressed they are, but they control the Judiciary Committee in America. They control so many important committees. Foreign intelligence, the intelligence committees, the appropriations committees. I mean, Jews are running so many of our important cabinet/legislative bodies inside of our government. So they have listen, it's not anti-Semitism, guys. If you have a group of people who are controlling your world and they're failing everywhere they go for you, you have a right to kick them out. That's called democracy. And Jews want to think that, well, once I'm in power, you don't have a right to kick me out. No, we do. That's called Republican-style democracy. If you are a failure for us and you are failing us, we have every right to kick every Jew out.
Tell that
to the Christian Zionists.
I know. I got a sister that's one, and I understand, Frederick. But we have to. That's still a valid point. I mean, I'm going to hell because of my views on Jews. Okay, I've heard it from my sister too many times. But we just smile and we move on to the next conversation. You know, it's like
what I talked about people is about banking, how Jews control banking, fractional reserve banking, usury, all that stuff. Because what we're seeing here in Ireland is people are being kicked out of their homes over exorbitant interest rates and blah blah blah. Right, and those homes are now being taken up by so-called immigrants, right, coming in. And, you know, why is that happening? Oh, they created a boom here back in the late 90s into the 2000s. Yeah. Then the 2008 happened, and...
they just took the money back out of the
economy. People who had successful businesses, they all folded. Families have been destroyed. Suicide rates are going through the roof. There's people living under bridges. We never had this before, ever. Now it's here.
Yeah,
and that's why I kind of concentrate on that one, because that's a big one, and people can see that, because they can see that you know their wages are getting less, they can't afford to pay their bills, just about struggling to pay their you know to feed their families. There's still a kind of the kind of middle class who are still kind of in that I'm all right, Jack mentality, but it's going to come to them eventually. And sooner or later, this will sort itself. I think, you know, once we get the word out, keep pushing it, we don't have to get our message through. People can go, oh, you're full of shit and you're a conspiracy nut and whatever. Fine. One day they'll see it. Because I saw it. It came to me. The banks are chasing me. I've been in the courts for 5 years trying to save my home, my dwelling. 5 years. I'm still here because I stood up to this bullshit.
Yeah.
And you can do it.
It's interesting that this homelessness is now fully ingrained or found in the Western countries. And I remember when I arrived in Germany or in Europe generally in 1970, homelessness wasn't really an issue because it was against the law in Germany, for example, for anyone to sleep in the streets or in the doorways. It wasn't a crime or it was permitted in America. We saw it in America. We were disturbed to see how these people in the 70s slept outside. They're rough sleepers. Then slowly in Australia, it began where this cardboard King Pratt offered these sleepers cardboard homes for the nights, this kind of nonsense, instead of getting them off the street as they used to do in Germany, where the police would pick you up at night. If you didn't have a home, you were picked up at night and put in a home for these individuals who didn't have a home. You'd get cleaned up, you had a good bed, you had breakfast in the morning, and then you could go out again. But none of this business of physically loitering around at night and essentially making the community, the neighborhood and so on, ugly, ugly, ugly. And this goes back to a legal mindset. And this legal mindset is destroying the Western society. It's on purpose, as Dennis says. It's nothing new. And you've got to remember, then we have to go back, well, thanks to Arthur Butzer, I found this out, that in his The Hoax of the 20th Century, and by the way, Butz informs me he's not doing revisionism anymore. He only wrote one big book, and in that, it's all there, The Hoax of the 20th Century. And he goes and points out the donation of Constantine. Emperor Constantine allegedly donated Christianity, the Western world to Christianity, his empire. And this document allegedly was drawn up in the 4th century. It was actually written up in the 9th century and then exposed in the 15th century as the forgery. And the big thing about this is that in the 15th century, a number of different individuals with their expertise came together and analyzed this written document. And they found certain things didn't align with physical facts. Now, this is why when I saw Alison come along, when I saw Graham with that song, this is what we need. We've had others. They come in and then they go, but this is the important thing. There are others who then suddenly realize, hey, wait a minute, let's look at this gassing, let's look at this, where's the murder weapon, and so on. In 1999, when I was arrested in Germany at Mannheim in April, the judge before whom I was brought initially, he didn't have a function in the actual trial in November, in Germany, he didn't have court reporters. The judge writes his own notes. And he read back what he'd written about the matter, that I was detained and so on, blah, blah, blah. And he said, he asked me, would you like to add anything to that? And I said, yes. Please write, if we find the murder weapon, we will be the first ones to publish it. We will be the first one to broadcast the fact that the homicidal gas chamber has been found. And public prosecutor Klein jumped up, you know, he was 6 foot tall, and he jumped up and said, no, 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 and rushed up to the judge. That's not necessary. That's not necessary. I said, I insist on it. I insist on putting this down. And that's been my line through. Even in the defamation action, the basic claim was no evidence of homicidal gassing, no homicidal gas chamber. In other words, the murder weapon is not there. And once you realize that, you realize how the donation of Constantine, fabricated in the 9th century, held the Europeans together, and Christianity, Pauline Christianity, in fact, which Nietzsche, he's not my favorite philosopher, because he was Richard Wagner always said, stop your wanking. Hey, you find a woman.
He was a nihilist. Yeah.
And not only that, but he said, you know, Christianity is Judaism for non-Jews. Mm. Now, once we reach this point, we have a divide again, because too many people cannot focus on this fact, and then we reach the Germanic thinking or the European thinking, and we realize that the impulse from Jerusalem, from Rome, are to be questioned. But then once you reach that, you're in a very thin environment, and you just wonder, and I just wonder why Arthur Butz brought the donation of Constantine into it, and it's clear, because you realize if you have a law that grips, then this is how society is manipulated. And you see this immediately with Christchurch. Can you imagine? They have banned anything that indicates what this shooter published. You can't have, you get imprisoned. And also, the last Friday, when they had the commemoration, the ABC, our news TV broadcaster, said, and the bullet holes have been filled in, and the walls have been painted over.
Oh,
yeah,
now,
sure, sure.
In 96, we had Port Arthur.
Tasmania,
They demolished the cafe because it was too painful and hurtful for those who were there. In other words, you eliminate the evidence.
Yeah.
And they do this everywhere. 9/11 was their biggest one.
Yeah, and what are we doing with the Holocaust? We are eliminating the evidence. Professor Deborah Lipstadt, if I may just mention that, you know, she will, in 94, she came to Australia and she was interviewed by Paul Barry. And what happened? She asked, why don't you bring in the alternate side, an opposing point of view? And she said she would not dignify them with the other side by coming on with her. In other words, no discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's fundamental. If somebody does not wish to discuss, no matter what, that's the end for me. If somebody says, oh, no, we can't discuss that, I'd say, why not? And I remember, I must mention this again, it's a funny one, but when I came to Australia, I was only a 10-year-old fellow, and I asked questions. And one day, the teacher, this was in grade 5, she said, you're rude. I said, why? Mm-hmm. She said, because you ask so many questions. Now, that is the fundamental thing we have to do, to ask questions. Anybody who blocks me is suspicious. We will, you know, we have to ask questions. And I go back to to my thesis I wrote about Karl Popper and Charles Saunders Peirce. The essential thing is to ask questions and then to see where we're going. And to have an almost an unblemished background, the integrity, truth, honor, justice. We must have these basic values. We must bring back trust. We must be able to trust our individual friends. If we are constantly battling, fighting this using this Talmudic Marxist dialectic, you know, man against woman and so on, this is no good. Let me just do a bit of a gossip about we've got Married at First Sight. It's a new program for Channel 9, and you've got these individuals, and they marry. And then you follow them through. Well, you've got one couple, and they get eliminated if they don't like each other anymore. They can opt out and so on. But one woman and one fellow, they were looking at the other partners. And in other words, it shattered their own partners, and they were demoralized. And then these two, they were allowed to stay. They had been devious, deceptive, lying, hypocritical, all these negative elements, character elements, they embodied totally, and they were rewarded because they were in love. They were in love, and they could then, perhaps in the next week, find true love, which the moderators didn't quite anticipate. I mean, this is nonsense. If you don't have a basic moral and intellectual framework of values, then, you know, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Might is right. Put the money down and I'll dance to your tune.
That's Frederick, that's where we're at today. It's really might is right. That's where we are at today. That's the problem.
Guys, we're
okay.
Sorry, Freddie. No, I'm just saying we're coming up to the end of the show, but we can carry on for a bit. But let's kind of wind us down and give our final points. And at the end of the day, we're all here for Graham because he's going through a bit of a hard time at the moment, and we have to support him and his family. He doesn't deserve this. He's a good guy. I know. I met him. He's a great guy. Sound. Okay. He's sound. He hasn't got a hateful bone in his body. Okay. But he's trying to find the truth because he cares about the world that we're living in. He cares about the future of his children and his grandchildren, what they're going to go through. Okay? He wants to, you know, live in a world where at least we have the staunch pillar of a civilized society, which is called free speech. He's fighting for that. So that's why I think he did the song Hoax Train, just to put it out there, free speech. Let people question. That's okay. If you want a debate, let's have a debate. Fine. We'll do that. No problem. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We can all put our hands up. As you said, Frederick, if there is evidence of the murder weapon, as you said, the gas chamber, we'll put our hands up and say, okay, sorry, we're wrong. But we haven't seen it yet. And it's like 70 years later. So come on.
Yeah,
let's show it.
My quick point then, and I'll wrap it here, is that, look, for those who want to push an agenda onto all of us, we are the jury. We are. You present your evidence, and we're the jury. You don't tell the jury how to interpret your prosecution of your case. And to the Jewish people and their Holocaust fraud, you've put your case forward. It is not for you to tell me, who is part of the jury of humanity, to buy your case. You failed as a group, as a lawyer, as a society to push this agenda. And no amount of force is going to change me as the jury on the seat of mankind to change my views. I hold you in contempt of court and think that you should be driven out from this court. And then finish all this madness with this Holocaust.
Exactly. So I think when we sort this out, Dennis, when the truth, and it is coming out, Dennis, and you've seen it in the last few years, and Frederick, you've probably seen it as well, thanks to all the really amazing work that you've done over the last 20, 30 years, you know, it is now coming out. People are beginning to see through this Holocaust fraud. There is no evidence of gas chambers. None.
Well, it's now 1 in 20 braai in the UK. 1 in 20 don't believe the Holocaust. That's a huge number.
So it's growing. People are beginning to see it, and once they realize that's out in the open, they're done. They're gone.
I agree.
Everything. What you reckon to that, guys? Do you think that once the Holocaust narrative is exposed for what it is,
it's over?
No, big lie. No, you have to root them out. I mean, this is a case where you're going to have to purge your societies from all of the decay inside. And just because that's done, that's not going to get you an automatic purge of your societies.
No.
Well, no, but it's going to make a big, huge difference, I think.
Well, no. Again, people have to be focused on what needs to be done, and that is purging your societies. That's what they're doing now. When they run an article, people need to just see it for what it is. When you go out and you create a campaign behind people's backs, hush, hush, like little squeals, and then you take down the song that many, from what Graham says, is plays to the heart of the people of Cornwall. You take that away from the people of Cornwall. The next thing you know, you've got a literal nationwide campaign to expose this on all of your media assets. Okay, well, that's trying to purge voices from your society. They're doing this tactic, guys. It's not like I'm calling for a radical idea here. They are doing this today. Look, when this Dwelly guy talks about we've got 8 labor members who are anti-Semites. Well, they're basically trying to purge your community. And therefore, you need to take the same idea, be calm about it, be fair about it, but also be a bit ruthless. You need to purge your societies and create a better world. Otherwise, these people who are failures are going to continue to be failures. And that's what the key point here. Their policies and everything about them are failing our people. So let's get rid of them.
Yeah, it's up to us. Frederick, yourself, your final thoughts?
Get shot at dawn, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that they can't do that, Frederick, in all fairness. I mean, they can't, because they know everything that they speak of. It's not based on anything. It's not based. There's no foundations there. It's nothing. As you said, hate speech is nothing. It's meaningless. So, you know, the one thing that we all have in common, all of us, be able to speak our mind. No matter what opinions we have, we speak our mind. They can't.
And this is what I emphasize. Ultimately, you have to be at home within yourself. You have to develop that self-reflective intelligence and to make sure that you feel well. For example, I've been in 4 different prisons, and not in one of them did I ever have a nightmare or anything like that. And what I did while I was inside, I didn't mention the topic as such, because most knew why I was in there, but through basic normal behavior and work, because Arbeit macht frei, you then indicate that you are not taking on the prison system or the police system. We have to win over the police. We have to win over the bureaucrats. We have to win over these people. And we've had this again and again. And in Germany, there's Nikolai Nehrling. He's the Volkslehrer. He got thrown out of teaching because he refused to comply with the dogmas coming through. And he, whenever he's about, he'll propagate his Germanic mindset. And the police, initially, they targeted him, his group. He believes in folk dancing. He believes in bringing in traditions again of men and women being together and so on. And that now, whenever there's a demonstration, and he went to the Leipzig Book Fair, and you know, whenever he saw anybody, he would engage them in a civilized way, absolutely in a civilized way, no shouting, nothing like that. And then when a police cordoned him off in another situation, he said, or his group burst out, ein, zwei, drei, dank der Polizei. You know, one, two, three, thank the police. And this is what we have to do. We have to win over the police, the fire brigade,
the army, the defense forces, all of that. Yeah,
we have to win that. Absolutely. And they're waiting. And these people, they're waiting. There are thousands in the armed forces who are waiting for this kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll see what's going on in the EU at the moment, because they want EU military union. Okay, so they're depleting the European armies. Okay. Yes. Of funding and technology and all the rest of it, because they wanted to bring it all under Brussels. And there's a huge demoralization within the armed forces all across Europe. And that's deliberate, so they can bring them all in under one group. And we're going to have, they plan to bring in a European military, I won't call it EU army, a lot of people talk about EU army. This is not going to spring out of nothing. This is an amalgamation of all European armies coming together.
Yeah, like NATO.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly, they've got a NATO exercise around Britain and the coastal areas and inland. They've got a big NATO exercise on March the 30th, the day after we are supposed to come into Brexit. I wonder if that's a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a big exercises all across the Russian border as well. So it's all, it's fear. It's, let's distract people from everything, from Brexit, from all the rest of it. Even talking about Brexit, I mean, guys, we can talk here for hours about this. But, there's an act in the UK Parliament, the Withdrawal of the EU Act. And it says on March 29th at 11 p.m. Britain leaves. Right? Nobody's talking about that. They're all talking about an extension, but nobody's talking about actually. They have to repeal that. That's going to take time, but nobody's talking about it. So if they ignore that, what happens? That's the government going against their own laws. There's a whole constitutional crisis right there. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on, guys. I mean, we're living in very interesting times, and I'm sitting in the front row seat and laughing, thinking this is great, because it's imploding. I feel this is imploding in many ways. We just have to get enough people to see the real facts, to see what's really going on, and who's behind it, and then we can sort this out.
Yes, and if I may interject, I just received from Renegade Tribune the latest information, the email, and what are they talking about? They're talking about Ljubljana, Marsha's wheel, world's oldest wooden wheel from Slovenia, 5,200 years old. Now, look, we're in 2019. Why suddenly do they find these things? Are we rediscovering something that we should be focusing on as well? I mean, this is where Kyle Hunt is brilliant. The stuff that he churns out. I mean, this is beautiful stuff. So much for that comment.
I suggest you listen more to Dennis, Frederick.
Kyle and Dennis have had their differences.
We all have.
Yeah. Frederick. Okay. I mean, listen, we all have differences.
I have said he turns out good stuff. Just has something to work with people.
The thing is, we're all on the same side, right? You know, you can be a Christian, you can be a pagan, you can be a meat eater or a vegan, whatever the hell you want to be. But the thing is, we have a bigger problem, and that's what we need to be focused on. Now, I'd be quite interested in getting Kyle Hunt on as a guest and talking to him, and having a good rational. And I'm sure he would. You know, I like Kyle's shows. I think he's a good guy. Yeah, I mean, he's clued in. He knows what's going on. I just agree with somebody. He's, you know, I think he just kind of goes a bit, gets a bit angry maybe, and he needs to be just, you know, maybe I just need to, you know, let's calm it down. You know, because he's, you know, he's half Irish, so maybe I can connect to the Irish side of him and say, come on, Kyle, let's sort this shit out, you know?
Yeah, but anyway, what I like is that in time, in our discussions, we must rediscover the suppressed cultural impulses that came from Northern Europe. Nowadays, look, just one prime example is, I mentioned this to a friend, that the moon influences a woman's period. And he said, how can you prove that? Well, you know, it's an old wives' tale, so to speak. Well, it's not. The medication that's used today to regulate such matters is actually harming women. And therefore, there is a natural order of things which goes beyond Talmud, which goes beyond Torah, which goes beyond the Jewish problems. This is why I say, don't only blame the Jews. Certainly, we're stuck in that groove at the moment, but there's a far greater world awaiting those individuals who want to explore the past a little further. And I don't know whether that's interesting for Dennis or not, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it's all interesting. I look at everything. I look at everything. Might not agree with everything, but I look at everything, and I take it in and take it, you know. Guys, okay, final thoughts now, because we're in half an hour over time. So, final thoughts. Dennis Fetcher, over to you. Final thoughts, because it's very late for you.
Late, and we had a deal, and now we're like half hour over that deal, and I'm thinking,
I'm sorry, Dennis,
had a bottle of scotch for extra 15 minutes at my
court. Okay, good man. Fair play.
Deal, Dennis.
No,
all I'm saying is, we're here because of Graham, okay? Let's give it to Graham.
I'm fine.
You've always been a great supporter of Graham. You always liked, you saw me on the show.
I think, you know, for Graham, it's an unfortunate situation, but also, you know, as we all know, there's opportunity in things like this. And unfortunately, Graham, you knew it might happen one day, so I'm not feeling all that sorry for you.
No,
you
know that's what I mean? Not so.
You knew
I
it was going to come indeed. Down. It was just a matter of time, and when it hits you, it's a shock. But I think now we can use this to our benefit.
Exactly.
And I think the family and everybody's going to come around. They've known you enough time to where they know who you are. So I don't think this should be a big deal over time. It's just a shock. And then, but now it gives you a chance to at least talk a little bit. If they keep nagging at you, you can just say, hey, look, now you know why I wrote the darn thing, and find ways to communicate it so that everybody's at peace. And I think Frederick said it well. You got to be kind of at peace with yourself when you do this. You cannot get too strung up on all the external stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, when it's this close and this much damage, it hurts. But, you know, it's still, you got to be at peace with yourself if you're going to be doing this. Otherwise, you probably should be finding other work.
Yeah, don't get angry, Graham.
No, I'm not known for getting angry.
Well, okay.
What I would say, Dennis and Frederick, Cornwall's a very narrow peninsula. We're only about 600,000 population. And people know me. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm a household name by any stretch of the imagination, although maybe I am now. But
well, you are now.
Whatever comes, my reputation goes before me. And as you say, Dennis, this is an opportunity. You've got to get over the initial shock. Once you do that, tonight has been good for me, actually. Thank you so much to all the people for their support. If you want to contact me, it's the Graham Hart Show at mail.com. That's the Graham Hart Show at mail.com. hate mail and death threats welcomed. I don't, you know. But if you want to, if you want to contact me, that's fine. But yeah, as Fern just said in the chat room, don't get angry, get even. That's all I want to do. You know, you've picked on me, you've hurt my family, and I won't have it. Doesn't matter whether it's about Jewish or anything. I won't have it.
Right. Final word from Frederick. Frederick, any advice for Graham in this situation?
Yeah, Graham, you're a fighter, and life is trouble, only death is not. And in time, you'll realize that it is, you get one go at life, and if you haven't had a fight, then you're not alive. And this is what Richard Wagner in his opera, The Ring, teaches us. We must overcome these battles, and then you reach the point that I've just about reached, old age, where you then look at the young and you can imbue them with a little bit of wisdom that you've collected on the way. And you've come through because you know that what's happening to you is life.
Exactly.
It is nothing unusual.
No.
This is what it's all about.
Well, as I said,
stand tall and be good to your family.
Thank you so much, Frederick. Wife. Thank you for coming on, and also a very special thank you to you, Dennis. You've supported me so much over the last couple of weeks, pal. I really am so grateful to you. Thank you. And don't miss Inside the Eye Live, folks.
We ain't done yet. We ain't not done yet. We still got work to do, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we have indeed. We have indeed. But we'll push on, and I agree with you all that, you know, the walls are starting to break.
And I would even put a thing out to Tim Dwelly, if you're out there. If you want to come on the show, come on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I offered to have him come on my show, and he basically said, oh, why don't you just stop spreading all your anti-Semitism?
Coward.
Like,
coward,
dude, you know what? You need to grow up beyond being a five-year-old, because you're playing in a whole different world now.
Yeah, they can't. You see, this is their issue. They can't do that. So, anyway, folks, listen, this has been a phenomenal show. Great, absolutely wonderful discussion. We've touched on lots of subjects. Frederick Tobin, I have so much admiration for you, what you've done to really get out to the truth about what happened in World War II, to exonerate Germany, you know, and the great German people, you know. They need to rise up. Hopefully we'll see it again. And the people of Europe in general, you know, we're in bad trouble at the moment, but maybe, you know, maybe it has to get that bad before we get better again.
You know what the French did, guys? You know what the French did when, you know, the croissant? You've heard the croissant, right? Yeah. You know, the French baked the croissant as like symbol of victory over the Turks. And I'm thinking one day we may have to make bread in the shape of a yarmulke.
Or a pasty. Or a Cornish pasty.
Hang on, wait a minute. That means you're going to follow Purim and then develop body parts and then enjoy them.
Yeah, we'll have to count. No, we don't want to be doing that. Did you hear that part about... Did you hear it coming out of China, by the way, Frederick? Some really disgusting stuff targeting not so much your part, but they are actually harvesting human bodies and selling it as corned beef. Somebody leaked some pictures to me.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And it is absolutely the most gory, disgusting looking thing I've seen probably this year.
That would put you off meat, Dennis. That would make you a vegan.
Yeah, it does make me look. Take a second to look at that cheeseburger.
I see a conspiracy coming on.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you
guys,
very much.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Frederick, thank you very much. Absolute delight speaking to you. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Yeah, always as usual. We'll always be in touch, Frederick. We'll actually have to get you on again for another show. Because you've got so much to say, it's great. Graham, three of us here tonight, we're behind you all the way, plus all the people in the chat room and all the listeners. We're behind you, okay, man? Stay strong all the way.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. And as I say, Dennis, Inside the Eye Live, Thursday night, Inside the Eye Live prime time, and Inside the Eye Live is the flagship show on Saturday mornings. Don't miss it. If you think you can rent you... You ain't heard nothing until you've heard the fetch.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Frederick, where can people find you, Frederick, online?
I'm retired at the moment. Tobin.
Okay.
Tobin.biz.
My mate's doing Adelaide Institute.
Adelaide Institute, yeah. Adelaide Institute, okay. That's great. Okay, so just to check out what Frederick's doing. And we support Frederick down there in Australia. We support Dennis Fetcher there somewhere in the Middle East. You know, he's doing great work.
What do you mean down there?
Well, over there, or somewhere, you know.
The earth is flat.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Well, over there, across the plain somewhere, yeah.
Hey, they don't call it a planet for nothing, okay, guys? That's why it's called a plane. You got to get with the Kabbalah here. Come on. Good stuff. And then they screw us around because it's also called the world, which implies it's going in a circle. So then I get really confused.
Yeah, but Dennis, you're letting yourself be screwed around.
We're getting pulled in other directions. We have to concentrate on the, you know, the people who are.
That's why I don't touch that subject. I have a very key.
I got interested in it, but then I pulled out of it because it was.
Why don't you play Graham's song?
Yeah, play Graham's song. Yeah, Graham, I think that would be very apt.
What if I could fall?
I mean, the song is so offensive to the people of Cornwall, Graham. So offensive.
I know.
Tim Dwelly, there, the councillor in Penzance, he's so offended by this one, you know. He seemingly got loads of complaints from people across Cornwall.
Would you like me to play it for you, Graham?
No, I've got it. I think, Dennis, I think just picked up the wrong one. Now, why are you coming up BB? I didn't ask for BB King. I'm not clicking on BB King.
Well, BB King's cool. Come on, that's BB King.
Okay.
Let's try this one, guys.
Frederick Tobin, Dennis Fetcher, thank you very much for coming on the show. Absolutely wonderful. We'll have you both on again for another chat. I mean, geez, this is fantastic. I love this. Graham, you stay strong, man. We're with you all the way, okay? Sign us out with Hoax Train.
I can't do Hoax Sign Train. Us out. I can't do Hoax Train. I can't seem to put it. It won't come up for some reason, Bri. What I will do is I'll play the song. Whoops.
Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is.
Dennis has got it. Okay, good night, folks. Thank you so much.
Get off the Hoax Train, the Hoax Train. The first stop we'll be making will be Auschwitz. Tell all your friends you won't see the swimming pool. When the train arrives at the station, like the theater, it's been from you. Graham of the world, wake up. You're on a Hoax Train, a Hoax Train. Graham of the world, wake up. Get off the Hoax Train, the Hoax Train. The next stop is reading a diary over in Amsterdam, written in pen and pen. Now there's a clue. You see, the barrow wasn't invented until 1950.
get off the hoax train, the hoax.